Galatians failed to understand this issue, and that was, how do you live the Christian life now that you are in this race? Paul says in Galatians 5:7, you were running well. What hindered you? And the reason they were hindered is they were failing to understand this issue of Christian freedom.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we are continuing our study in the book of Galatians as this weekend, Dr. Tony Morita takes us to Galatians chapter 5 and explains to us the principle of Christian freedom and how our freedom in Christ is very different than the sort of independence, kind of isolation mindset that we often have when it comes to this subject. You won't want to miss today's message, but first, we're joined by Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, who helps us know how to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering in chains. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. One of the ministries that we support here at Songtime, and often have them on the broadcast, is Voice of the Martyrs. It's a ministry that helps us stay informed on how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering in chains around the world. We're joined today by my good friend Todd Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs as he gives us an update of what's happening around the world. Now, there are many different countries that we could talk about today and many different ways that we could kind of tap into the various countries that are struggling, especially right now with persecution. But one that is often in our radar, at least concerning to many Americans based on their global policies, is the country of Iran. And there's a reminder here that there are many Christians in this country who are being persecuted for their faith, unable to exercise it freely, and yet Iran is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. We're joined again by Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. Todd, what can you tell us what's taking place in Iran and what we need to be informed about in our prayers for the persecuted church?
Yeah, this is a developing story. We don't know exactly what's going on at this point in time, but there's been a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation about the health of the supreme leader there. His name is Ali Khamenei. He took over for Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, and he is basically the head of the country. Now, you know, they have a president and that's a different role, but this is the supreme leader. He's the head of the mullahs who run the country. There is speculation that he could die soon. Has, you know, thought to be very sick. There's been some public appearances that he has canceled that normally he would be at if there was any way he could be. And so, like you say, this could be a turning point for the nation of Iran. This is a nation that heavily persecutes our brothers and sisters, but it is also the place with the fastest growing church in the world. So Iranians are hungry for the gospel. They are very frustrated with their government. And by virtue of the fact that their government is the mullahs, it is the Islamic leaders, they're frustrated with Islam. They look at 40 years of Islamic rule and they say, Islam hasn't done anything for us. Islam hasn't worked to run our country. And so as we think about the possibility that he could die, that really presents a lot of opportunity for change within Iran. You know, maybe there's a new supreme leader. Maybe there is, you know, the people rise up and say, hey, we don't want this anymore. We want a different form of government. We want a different structure. There is, you know, things that are very negative that could happen. The Revolutionary Guard Corps could gain even more power in the country, and they are part of the persecutors. They're part of the people who are actively persecuting our brothers and sisters. So really a strategic time to pray for the nation of Iran. And as we watch the news and as we hear, if we hear that he has in fact died, certainly I hope that drives people to pray for Iran and for our Christian brothers and sisters there, because it really could be a turning point for that country.
Usually when you get to a place like this where there is a turning point, there's often a struggle or a mad grab for power.
Yes.
And that can often lead
very violent.
Yeah, it can often lead to violence and very unsettling. I'm sure the Christians are really concerned about what's taking place with all of this, looking at the horizon, trying to figure out, is this going to be a Egyptian Islamic spring, or is this going to be a deeper revolution with ISIS, where the minority with the strongest attacks are able to grab up power and claim it for themselves?
Yeah, and you know, just a few years ago, we saw Iranians marching in the street. We saw what some thought, you know, maybe this is it. Maybe they're going to overthrow the Islamic government. There was very severe crackdowns in that situation. People lost their lives. And so it really is a strategic time to be in prayer for the nation of Iran.
Mm. Now, with that being said, with what's going on in Iran, I think that this is really important for our listeners to know. Whenever we see this stuff happening in the news, we need to remember the fact that this is a place where there are many Christians who are suffering, and Christians that we need to be praying for and remembering them. What we see in the news is really just a reminder that there is much more happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, and again, you know, when we understand that these are our family members, these are our brothers and sisters, then the news becomes, it becomes exactly like you said, a reminder. Oh, I have family in Iran. Maybe not, you know, my earthly family, but my heavenly family. I definitely have relatives in Iran, and so I definitely need to pray for them. And this is just a key time to do that.
Today, we've been talking with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, a ministry that helps us stay informed about how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering in chains around the world. Today, talking about what's happening in Iran, very pressing issues, very much needing our prayers. But coming up on Sunday, November 6th, there is an International Day of Prayer that is hosted every year by Voice of the Martyrs, and we want to make you informed about that so that you can not only pray as a contributor to the Songtime ministry as a part of the many voices in the one message, but you could share this with your local church and your congregation to encourage them to pray for what's happening around the world as well. Many churches across New England joining with us, praying for the persecuted churches, as well as countries, churches even in Iran, who are praying for the persecuted church. It really is a monumentous opportunity to pray for what's happening around the world and remember those who are suffering in chains. There's actually much more to this conversation with Todd Nettleton. We talk about various countries, including China, Mozambique, and even Afghanistan. If you want to find that full interview, head over to our website at songtime.com. And to learn more about the International Day of Prayer, give us a call, 508-362-7070. Well, today we're continuing our study here in the book of Galatians, and this week we're looking at a message from Tony Merida. He helps us understand this idea of Christian freedom, which actually is very difficult for us to wrap our mind around. Christianity, or any religion, seems rather confining, seems very restrictive. What is it about Christ that actually sets us free, and what are we free from, and what are we free to do? Here in this message, Tony Merida breaks down Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, as he shows us what our freedom really means as believers.
The Galatians failed to understand this issue, and that was, how do you live the Christian life now that you are in this race? Paul says in Galatians 5, 7, you were running well. What hindered you? And the reason they were hindered is they were failing to understand this issue of Christian freedom. And what I'd like to do in our time together in these 15 verses is look at three particular instructions for running well. The first one is found in verse 1, where Paul says, "For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." The problem with the Galatians was, objectively, they were not walking in this truth. They still believed they needed to contribute to their salvation. Notice how he says it in the verse here. Stand firm. Stand firm. Don't go back to slavish ways of thinking. Stand firm. You are free in Christ. Live in this. He says, don't submit to the yoke of slavery. Don't return to legalism. Don't return to slavish ways of thinking. Now, my friends, there are millions living under a yoke. They're living under this idea that they must pay God back for their past. They must do enough, be smart enough, right? Do enough good things, and all it is doing is crushing them. And Paul says, don't put that on you. Our greatest obstacle for eternity has been removed. We are no longer under the penalty of sin. Now, when you work that into your heart, you can be free from your experience daily with sin. And so, do you love Christ, your liberator? Do you love this liberator who came to set you free? There are some people think, you know what? If you teach people they're free in Christ, they won't want to serve him. It's actually the opposite. Once you see Christ has set you free from sin and death, then you serve him not out of duty, do you? But out of love. Number two, Christ has set us free. Live in the truth. What I want you to see is Paul is talking about how the Galatians were listening to the wrong teaching. They were trying to put this yoke back on them. And so he has a very sustained argument from verses 2 to 12, and he ends with a bang in verse 12. And again, the problem in Galatia is this issue of circumcision and keeping the law. So for Paul, circumcision, it may seem kind of out of date for us in the 21st century, but think about it like this. This simply symbolized a religion of human achievement. And Paul's been saying we have a religion of divine grace, of divine accomplishment, not human achievement. Now let's just highlight them briefly. Verse 2, he says that if you listen to these teachers, then you will view Christ as insufficient. He says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ is no advantage to you. It is not Jesus halfway and then I make up the rest. No, Jesus' work is perfect. You can't add or improve to the work of Christ. If you add to the gospel, you lose the gospel. Further, he says, you need to realize, once you go down this road of accepting circumcision and the law, you have to keep the whole law. What we've seen is chapter 3, where Paul says that no one can do this. So why would you want to go down this road? You have to obey the whole law. Third, he says if you accept this teaching of human achievement, religion by human achievement, rather than divine grace, then you fall from the doctrine of grace. Notice verse 4. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You who want to be made right with God by law keeping, you've fallen away from grace. So that is the false message. Now notice the false messengers. He says, this persuasion is not from him who calls you. Don't listen to their persuasion. We know they're not sent by God because they're not teaching the truth. Further, he says in verse 9, they contaminate others. These teachers contaminate people. He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just like leaven that permeates the whole lump of dough and makes it rise, so false teaching gets in, and it's just a symbol of permeating sin and false doctrine. Jesus said the same thing about the Pharisees when he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, notice what verse 12 says. He says, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For Paul, the gospel was so important, he would die for it. And he wanted this leaven to be removed. He wanted this false teaching to be removed. So summarize this whole section like this. He says, Galatians, trust in Christ alone for salvation. Look to Christ and Christ alone. Find your righteousness in him, not from law keeping. Embrace him by faith and faith alone. Christ has set you free. Live in the truth and don't listen to the false teachers. Thirdly, Christ has set you free. Now live to love and serve others. I love what Paul does in this passage because he avoids two problems with freedom. On the one hand, he tells us in verse 1, he avoids this problem of saying, you're free, now I want to try to control everything. I want you to do all of these little things. No, he doesn't say that. On the other hand, he avoids this problem. The one hand over here you might call legalism. Over here, he avoids the problem of license. That is, you've been set free now. Whatever you want to do. There is no moral conduct, therefore, that you should follow. No, he goes in an opposite direction. He says, now that you're free, you have responsibilities. What he says here is that Christian freedom is not a freedom to sin. It is a freedom from sin. It is a freedom now to do not just whatever you want. You have a freedom now to do what Christ wants. The call to freedom, then, is a call to oneness in Christ and to loving service within the believing community. Now listen to this last sentence. The liberty of the gospel is not to be exercised in isolated independence. Americans love individuality, autonomy, and anonymity in the church. But Christianity is about living in community. You were saved for community. It is for freedom that you are enslaved to one another now. He's using this as a paradox to show you the importance of community. Christ liberated you so that you would be growing now with one another. So Paul says, love one another. In verse 14, he gives us this other type of love. Love your neighbor. The whole law, he says, is fulfilled in one word. Love your neighbor. Now, this is interesting. Again, Paul says, we can't keep the law. Now he says, fulfill the law. What's he saying? Well, again, he's not saying that we keep the law for our justification. We know that's unattainable to keep the whole Mosaic law. Jesus fulfilled it for us. And as a result of that, by the power of the Spirit, we are free to live out the teaching of God's law. The Spirit changes us and now empowers us to obey God. Now, what is surprising is Paul doesn't say the whole law is summarized with love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what is said elsewhere. The whole Ten Commandments are summarized with love God, first four commandments, love neighbor as yourself, like six commandments or five and five, however you want to divide it up. It's surprising that Paul doesn't say love God and love neighbor. Perhaps this is just shorthand, or perhaps Paul's just saying neighbor because of the context, but more than likely he has both of them in mind. He probably has in his mind that a love for God does manifest itself in love for neighbors. These are not two divided things, really. If you are loving God, you will love people. If you're not loving people, you're simply not loving God. The whole law is fulfilled in this one concept, love God. So they're related to one another. So those who are freed from the law are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out this new life of love. You are free, Christian. You're free to run, and don't let anyone hinder you from obeying the truth.
The idea of Christian freedom is complicated. I'll be the first to admit it. It's complex in its teaching because Christianity seems rather restrictive, especially to those who are outsiders of our faith. They look in on the structure of our faith and they find it refining. You cannot do anything that you want to do. And because that is so restrictive, they say that can't possibly be freedom. Instead, they want to be free to choose who they are, who they have a relationship with, what sort of gender they are. And as a result, our faith is actually seen as disruptive and threatening to the freedom that they want to share. And it's why our faith is being persecuted, not just here, but across the globe, as we heard earlier today from Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. But Paul is not writing to the people at large. He's not writing to outsiders of the church. He's writing to Christians who are abandoning the faith and the freedom that they have in Christ for a restrictive belief system that is really one that is parallel to this sort of freedom that the world offers, a freedom that is not true freedom in Christ. The best way that I think I can illustrate this point is that if you are in a boat in the middle of the ocean, you might feel constrained. You might feel that that boat is not really giving you the freedom that you want. Certainly, you are able to walk on the deck. You're able to do everything you want. But you know what? You can't do as much as you want. So your options are to jump out of the boat. That would certainly be freedom, at least the freedom that the world has to offer. But surely, in the middle of the ocean, getting out of the boat is not an ideal solution. The point is, you got to stay in the boat because the boat is your salvation. Yes, there are restrictions. We are confined to what is holy and righteous, but that is what is safe. What is in the ocean is not safe. You might be free in that context, but you are in dangerous and treacherous territory, and ultimately, it will lead to your destruction. So, stay in the boat. Stay in Christ. That's Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. Remain in Christ, stand firm in this faith, and hold fast to your salvation. I hope that this encourages you, and if it has, I hope that you will be an encouragement to us. We're a ministry that's supported by you, our listeners. The only way that we can stay on the air is because of your generosity. So if you've been blessed, consider being a blessing by writing to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630. Or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime and our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine, who has always encouraged you to grow in grace so that you won't groan in disgrace, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Galatians 1:3-5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.